gentlemen.
The biggest name. You're locked into JJ and Alex. With the insight and analysis on the teams you can't live without. Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
JJ and Alex rolls into the 5 o'clock hour on this Friday. Hope you're all doing well. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you. Whether in your car, headed home from school, work, or just sitting in the office, whatever you're doing, we love you and we appreciate you listening to the show. We hope you enjoy it. Wild week. My goodness, I'm exhausted. That's a good thing. We had a lot of fun this week. The NHL to Utah story, obviously, a pretty massive deal. It could be a historic moment for sports in the state of Utah. And then we had a bomb dropped on us last night after we were done with the show, Mitch, that BYU is going to be looking for a new head coach. So a lot of things developing. It's all brought to you by G2G Bars with all natural ingredients, no preservatives, and plenty of protein. G2G Bars are perfect for anyone who needs a tasty and nutritious boost. Jeremiah Jensen, Mitch Harper in for Alex Carey, and Mitch Harper is the perfect person to be here for the news we're going to break down right now. Mark Pope leaving BYU for Kentucky is the cut at 5 o'clock.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Yes, that's right. Just in case you've been a little disconnected today, Mark Pope is no longer at BYU. He has been named the new head coach at the University of Kentucky. He's headed to Lexington, and now we head into a future at BYU that is uncertain, unknown, fascinating for a lot of different reasons, and Mitch Harper is here to break it all down for us. He's working hard on this story, and he's reached out to a lot of people and had a lot of conversations, so there's a lot of moving parts. Before I get to you, Mitch, I want to mention that there's some news here that has developed that Dallin Hall and Ali Khalifa have entered the transfer portal today. We have no idea what Jackson Robinson's future is, whether it's the NBA, whether it's Kentucky, whether it's staying at BYU. That's out there. And, of course, there could be other players that move. But I think what's on the minds of every BYU fan right now, Mitch, is, okay, Mark Pope's gone. Don't care anymore. See you later, Mark. Enjoy your dream job in Kentucky. We don't need you. We want a new head coach.
Yes.
Who is it going to be?
To me, the pick should be Chris Burgess. If you're BYU and you're going to stay in the LDS coaching pool, that's the guy to pursue. And BYU has never gone away from that. Do the pressures of the Big 12 cause them to open it up? I would say no, because Tom Holmoe has had success in that shallow pool and hit it out of the park, quite frankly. I mean, Dave Rose and Mark Pope are Tom Holmoe's basketball hires, and that's an excellent hit rate. But going into the Big 12, it's just a unique challenge to face, to give a first-time head coach the Big 12, a 16-team Big 12 that'll be including Arizona and Utah into the mix. But I do think Chris Burgess
in Colorado.
Chris Burgess has got the chops to do it, and I think he could win at a high level for BYU. But man, it would take time. And when you bring up the personnel, you know, Ali Khalifa and Dallin Hall, I do believe that Dallin Hall is a guy, and, you know, that he is, I know confidently that he is open to coming back to BYU, but he wants to have options. And that's the era that we're in. This is what makes this search historic for BYU, is that's the first in the NIL era for the Cougars. And it brings up time being critical, but, you know, Dallin Hall is going to be patiently waiting for who becomes that head coach, but he's going to have opportunities and interest is already flowing through. But I don't think it's a guarantee that he goes to play for Mark Pope. There was a chance he was going to go into the portal when Mark Pope was the head coach at BYU. Mm-hmm. So to just assume that he's going to go Big Blue Nation, I think that's inaccurate. But you look at the roster. I mean, Noah Waterman, he's a guy that's his biggest connection was Mark Pope. You would think that he probably wants to move on. He does love it at BYU. But that's a guy to, you would think, maybe could be next portal bound. Trevin Ell's a BYU guy through and through, but, you know, love Mark Pope. I don't see him as a Kentucky guy. Trey Stewart, Atiki Aliatiki, Fusini Traore, Dawson Baker, Richie Saunders, Colin Chandler, Isaac Davis. That's your scholarship players remaining for BYU. Isaac Davis is a BYU guy, And he's an important piece. He's kind of viewed as maybe the next Yoli Childs, a four-star recruit. But at the same time, and what would be helpful too, going back to Chris Burgess was the primary recruiter for Isaac Davis when that recruitment began. There's so many connections that go to Chris Burgess with the current state of the BYU program. Barrett Perry, UNLV assistant coach, he's a name that's LDS, 30 years of coaching, but he doesn't have many connections to BYU as it's currently constructed and the personnel and the relationships. Now, Isaac Davis is an exception. He did recruit Isaac to Texas Tech, but because, you know, Barrett Perry has been a well-traveled coach. He's been a lot of places, including in the Big 12 for a year at Tech. But Chris Burgess makes so much sense, JJ, and I feel like that's a direction where you offer that job, he wants it, and he's going to take that opportunity and seize it. And I think there's something to be said about, you know, not having to beg a guy to want the job. Like, he wants it, and he wants to tackle it and become a head coach and get that opportunity. And why would you not? Because now you know that this BYU program, if you're very good, or not even great, if you're good enough and the connections you develop, it could turn into a really special job, or you could just build something special at BYU being in the Big 12 Conference. I think Chris Burgess makes a lot of sense for BYU.
He certainly does. Now, if you're in your car or you're at home listening, you're like, Mitch, what about Mark Madsen? Why are you not mentioning Mark Madsen? Let's address Mark Madsen. If you're only going to hire a coach that's a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Mark Madsen is the best coach available, in my opinion. With his experience, with the level that he's won at, and what he brings to the table, he would be perfect. But I'm sorry, he's not available. He just signed an extension with Cal through 2030. He helped breathe some fresh air into that program, and they're going in the ACC. That's not a bad situation outside of the travel he's going to have to deal with. You're now able to recruit in an ACC circle. That's a good pitch. That's a good situation for him. And I think he's happy there. And on the flip side, I'm sorry, BYU is not going to go pay a massive buyout. I don't know what its buyout is.
It was $4 million before the extension.
Okay.
But it's believed that that even went up.
It's going to be more than that. BYU's not paying. They're not doing that. BYU's not going to get involved in the buyout game. They're not going to go and try to snare a coach from some another school and pay their buyout. That's not going to happen at BYU.
And I do feel for fans, because I believe a lot of BYU fans, this is the hard thing about BYU sports, is that you've dreamed of the Big 12. You've dreamed of the biggest stages, and the Big 12 is, in basketball, there's none bigger. Mm-hmm. And you would, I always felt that going to the Big 12 might change things a little bit, be a little more open-minded, even on someone like a Cody Feger, who's not LDS and seems like he's positioned to be in a spot to go join Mark Pope at Kentucky. And, you know, it's not even a non-starter, it feels like. There's no juice, there's no momentum to Cody Feger being a thing, even though he's got so much institutional knowledge of not only Mark Pope's tenure at BYU, but the Dave Rose tenure when he was a director of basketball ops. If a guy like that who's not LDS can't really get much momentum, who can? And it's just, you know, BYU, it's just difficult because the list of coaches in the Big 12, and you know the depths that those coaches will go to win. You know, Bill Self was on probation, part of the FBI investigation. I mean, they got a slap on the wrist by the NCAA, but it's pretty well documented what Bill Self, the depths he'll go to go get players and build a roster. Now, it's all above board, and you go, how do you compete? And is the ceiling being a fifth-place team in the Big 12 and getting knocked out in the first round to Duquesne? You want more as a BYU fan. And look, maybe Chris Burge, maybe Barrett Perry can be that guy, but is BYU admin and BYU's kind of infrastructure, are they willing to go to the highest levels to not only be a nice piece in the Big 12, but to be a potential champion? And I understand it's hard to win in that conference. Kansas has always been great, and Houston's a Goliath, and Arizona's going to be amazing, but that's what you got to be chasing. And I think that was one of the good things about Mark Pope, and I know people are ready to move on from him, as you should. But he gave you that belief where he almost like spoke it into existence. He was a guy that internally where I'm going to be the next Kentucky coach one day. And it's like that. He swung big and always said, like, we're going to take on the biggest challenges possible. When they were in the WCC, let's go play the toughest non-conference slate known to man, because that's what they had to do. And it just feels like BYU has got to level things up. And if you are going to get a coach that has no head coaching experience, you better give him everything he can to succeed and not say, well, you have no head coaching experience. And then also you're going to get a lot of limitations. Oh, by the way, still go win and have the high expectations of winning in the Big 12. That's a tough job, but there's still people that want to go get that thing because it's a great opportunity.
It is a great opportunity in one of the best leagues in the country. And let me make this straight right out of the gate. I do believe that Chris Burgess, if you're not going to hire outside of the LDS circle, he is your best candidate. He's the best fit. He's the best. He's exactly what you're looking for if you're BYU. And he's proven that he's a good recruiter. And he's got the opportunity and will have the opportunity to build a good roster at BYU. I do believe that. I also believe that if BYU is going to reach the highest level in the Big 12, I think it would be time for them to start thinking outside of the box as far as widening their coaching pool.
Consider
hiring someone who is not a member of the faith. I think it can be done. You see it at the track and field level. Where's one of the best sports programs at BYU Athletics right now?
Track and field, yeah.
And
every couple, 6-9 months, it feels like, hey, this national champion from track and field.
And the women's coach is not a member of the faith.
What's interesting with her, too, is she had so much experience at BYU. And again, that's what I really felt that Cody Feger made sense. Because he had so much just the knowledge of BYU culture. It is a different dynamic. And like BYU is unique, and they need to embrace that uniqueness. And I think that's what's kind of the challenging thing about BYU is that if you go away from BYU, is the uniqueness and the specialty of BYU and that unique passion that comes with that place, is it still there if you go outside? It's tough. But at the same time, you're in the Big 12. It's like this is standard operating procedure of how you assemble rosters and how you get coaches and the level of pay. And it's a very difficult time for BYU. And I feel like this coaching search highlights the challenges that BYU faces in the portal NIL era. When they hired Mark Pope, it was during a portal era, but there was no NIL. When they hired Kalani, it was the old school way. It was like the glory days, if you will, where it was like no portal, no NIL. But now all that's on the table. And if you're not just ready to move and act and go get a coach, you face the realities of losing a Dallin Hall potentially. And he's in the portal. And Ali Khalifa seems like a guy that probably wouldn't come back to someone who's Mark, you know, Chris Burgess. He was a Mark Pope guy. But you lose players. And this was a team just 4 days ago, JJ, where USA Today is saying top 10, ESPN saying number 14. Now, I thought that was a little high, but still, like they were getting the narrative, the buzz about you're going to be top 25, the nation's going to be looking at BYU, and Coach Cal leaves for Arkansas, and suddenly this thing's turned on its head where BYU's got to act and go get a coach and make this thing work.
It's interesting to watch this play out, and I know things move a little slower at BYU than others. How soon do you think a replacement could be named?
I'd say midweek next week would be kind of the soonest.
I feel like, Mitch, I bring that up because I feel like there's a real urgency here.
Definitely.
You already have two players in the portal. We are in a transfer portal, period. You got to know who your head coach is as soon as possible.
100%. And, you know, Brian Santiago is someone that's close, obviously, in that athletic department with Tom Holmo, and he's in a way kind of the leader of overseeing basketball operations of the athletic department.
Makes sense.
And there's a real urgency there for Santiago and for Tom Holmo. And I think the athletic department senses the critical nature of this. And Dallin Hall's entry into the portal, Dallin Hall represents a BYU man, and he's going to the portal and he's dipping, and just the optics of that, if he's gonna go, why wouldn't anyone else? Because if you're going to look at NIL funding, you're going to pay that guy a ton of money. Honorable mention, all Big 12. If he's bolting, you got to get this thing going now, because if you're Richie Saunders, if you're Fusini Traore, who only has 1 year of eligibility left, and you sign with BYU before the NIL days kicked in, go get your bag and go somewhere else, because you'll have opportunities. All these guys, by getting Big 12 film and saying, you wanted Allen Fieldhouse. You had all this great film against Baylor, Scott Drew, Coach Baylor. You're going to get opportunities. You're going to get chances to play elsewhere. This is not a program that other programs won't pick apart. And So BYU has to get this thing going. So I'd say midweek. You know, there's always that leniency, a little bit flexibility with BYU, how you got to expect a little bit later. If it was a typical Power 5 school, you'd say, get this thing done by Monday. I almost feel like that's unrealistic for BYU. Next week, midweek, Wednesday, Thursday, that should be the target date where you're announcing a coach and you hit the ground running and get this thing pieced together for next year.
At least. There's an urgency here. There's no doubt about it. Last thing I'll mention on this about the future of BYU basketball. Dallin Hall, Utah, born and raised, returned missionary, and even he's in the transfer portal.
Yep.
Like, BYU cannot take for granted that there's just going to be kids of the faith that want to just come to BYU and play. You're in a bigger game, man. You got to have to play the transfer portal and the NIL game, even with LDS kids, because we're all human beings, and we all need to have money to make a living. We all have goals and dreams. If you can't provide what other places can, those kids will go where they're being provided.
And you can't just expect for individuals to take a discount because they are of the faith.
Right.
Not that that's ever been said, but it's almost sometimes...
Well, it wasn't an issue in the past because it wasn't about... There was not NIL. These opportunities weren't there.
Right.
And so the players just dreamed... And you have a generation now that dreamed about being Jimmer.
Yep.
That wanted to come to BYU. Well, I mean, Dallin Hall's kind of in that vein, right? I mean, 10 years after...
No question.
Here he is. And he's a guy that wants to go figure out where the best situation is for him, NIL-wise and opportunity-wise, to try to get to the NBA. And BYU's got to be able to provide those things, or they're not going to be able to get those kind of recruits, even here in Utah, even those guys that they took for granted for a long time. We're in a new era of NIL, transfer portal, and it no greater than in college basketball, where you only have five guys on the court at one time. One guy makes a big, big difference. And if you lose that guy, that's a major setback.
Just look at, you know, in Draper, Brody Kozlowski, he was a kid at Corner Canyon. He had a mom working at BYU TV. They still couldn't get that guy.
And she played basketball at BYU.
Right. And so you can't just assume you're going to get every guy. And I think there's more resources at BYU than I believe is put off. But, you know, BYU just operates differently. And that's where you go, does this search bring out some flaws of BYU's operating system? And you go, does it, for the long term, bring out positive change for BYU? I think that's got to be the hope, is that maybe in the short term, you're going to have some difficulties. And I got to imagine that this change has kind of recalibrates expectations for what you can be as a program next year, in the year two in the Big 12. But long term, this search brings out, okay, this is where areas where you got to get better, you got to improve, because you don't want to be left in this situation again where a coach can leave. Because let's say Chris Burgess gets the job and has success. He's not a BYU guy. He didn't grow up that. I mean,
we all know the story back in the day.
Everyone knows that story.
He let down 9 million Mormons.
And how just amazing is that idea, just that alone?
Isn't that crazy?
That man.
Let's end with that one, this point, Mitch, is the fact that we all know what that story was.
Yes.
Can you imagine 30 years later almost what that the turn?
Wild.
That the guy that let down 9 million Mormons is now the head coach of BYU? That would be an amazing story.
It'd be epic. And it'd be one that I think, you know, national college basketball people would pick up, because it is so unique. It would be so special. And Roger Reed, you know, when Chris Burgess was at BYU as an assistant, he came through the building and repaired that relationship. And so I think that would be pretty cool in that sense too. And I think there's just so many things that point to Chris Burgess making sense for this job. And, you know, Tom Holmoe always keeps tabs of these LDS coaches of who the top individuals are. And I feel like Chris Burgess, if they do continue with that LDS path, he to me seems like he checks a lot of boxes for BYU as the next head coach.
I too believe that Chris Burgess will be the next head coach of BYU basketball. And I think it's going to work well for them. I think he's well positioned. He's got experience there, and he's very hungry as a relatively young coach in this profession. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, it's the NFL Blitz. The show rolls on next. JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All the latest news and notes from the league and the locals in the NFL. JJ and Alex bring you the NFL Blitz. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's my
wife wants me to run an errand. She just needs to turn this music on. I'll get right to it.
Love this music.
It's truly inspiring. It's time for the NFL Blitz. JJ and Alex. Jeremiah Jensen, Mitch Harper in for Alex Carey, who is still out on paternity leave. So we march on here on the Blitz. We'll start with this. The Cincinnati Bengals could be trading wide receiver T. Higgins, and they might be trading him within the division of the Steelers. That's wild.
Yeah, you can't be doing that. Like, that's
what's up with that?
Within your own division? I mean, that's one of those deals where you make a deal like that, it'll backfire in some way. Like, you know, you instantly think of baseball back in the day, the Bambino, the curse of the Bambino. You can't be making deals with a division rival in that nasty AFC North where it feels like there's still kind of that element of rivalry in the pros. Can't do that.
You can't give one of your best receivers to the Steelers. The Steelers are going to be interesting next year. Will Russell Wilson be the Steelers starting quarterback? I think that's the plan. Let me tell you, as a Broncos fan, you better have a better plan. If that's plan A, you better have a plan B, because that ain't going to work out so well for you.
Justin Fields, be ready.
Okay. The invites are out for the NFL draft. This is really fascinating. Usually you'll see 20 or 30 guys. The list only includes 13 attendees. Of course, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels on here, Marvin Harrison Jr., Laiatu Latu out of UCLA, Roma Dunze out of Washington. The typical names you'd see at the top of the draft, but only 13. That is really interesting. Why do you think the list is so small?
Call it the Will Levis effect.
Ooh.
They don't want to have a guy feel like going into that Friday, that second round, and carried over into that. It's happened a few times. Will Levis, remember Geno Smith back in the day, had that happen. That, to me, would be why they cut that number. And also, really, why do these players need to be there anyway? They're probably like, I'd rather just enjoy with my family at home.
Mitch, you only get one chance in your lifetime to give a bear hug to the commissioner.
See, I think
you only get one chance in your life to walk that stage and hold that jersey up with the commissioner.
That is pretty cool, but
yeah,
isn't it cool to be with your family and just share the moment
no!
with them?
No, that's not cool at all. What are you talking about?
But then
about?
You run the risk of being Will Levis, and everyone's just posting memes about you on the couch and your mom and your sisters.
You're going to be in the NFL. You've been taking risks all your life. Where's the confidence? What are you guys afraid of? Go to the draft, you knuckleheads. It's in Detroit. Maybe that's why. I don't know.
Ah, there we go.
Dalton Kincaid was at home in Vegas.
Yes.
Last year did not go. I mean, this is becoming a trend where a lot of these guys have said, you know what, I'm going to stay home. I'm trying to think of some other guys locally.
There's also
Penei Sewell just was at home in St. George. He was a top 10 pick. He didn't want to go.
Maybe they just want to avoid the media requirements. You know, you do that song and dance.
Yeah.
Maybe they want to avoid that. Just hunker down at home, not speak. Get the phone call on the couch.
Okay. Like, you're missing the opportunity of a lifetime.
I agree.
Get drafted once.
I agree. It's an iconic photo. Like, you always just see the players that hold up that jersey. I always do find the Goodell hug nauseating. I mean, it's like, it's pick 28. Like, I don't need this now. Like, let's just get on with it. Let's finish the first round.
Well, at least the number one pick's going to be there. Caleb Williams will be. But here's some interesting insight on that. Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio, also with NBC, said Notre Dame tackle Joe Alt and Georgia tight end Brock Bowers declined invitations. Mm. And then Florio added that Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy did not respond to his invitation. You ghosted the NFL draft?
Wow. Is that worth a few spots down on the big board?
Oh, I'm a national champion. I don't have to respond to anybody. Did his butler not answer the invitation? JJ, what are you doing? I don't get it. I don't get it. Okay, so the only 13 this year. Whatever. That's going to be really awkward when the 13 are taken halfway through the draft. It's like, well, I guess Commissioner Goodell can just go home.
Just have the fans boo him and the crazy psycho NFL fans that dress up. Every fan base now has them.
Look, I love football. I love the NFL. You would never catch me in a full-on Peyton Manning jersey and hat and, like, one of those logo chains barking at the commissioner to draft. Like, Who are these people?
It used to just be the Raiders, my beloved Raiders, and then like the Dog Pound, and then the Hoggets. But now it's every fan base is dressing up at that thing. And I go, I didn't know this was a thing where every fan base is just in Halloween gear in the middle of April, just getting after it at the draft.
I don't get it either. Such a weird.
But
phenomenon.
I love the passion, though. That's what makes it's the one league.
Yeah.
That the NFL, you can do a segment every single day on a radio show in April because it's the National Football League.
You don't see a bunch of guys in tank tops hanging out in the front of the NBA draft, like clapping and drinking beer and slapping hands when the Cavaliers take so-and-so with the third overall pick.
No, you don't
get
that.
It doesn't happen. It's just only in the NFL, folks. All right, so I mentioned those 13. And we didn't go through all the names of the 13, but there were two that are not that were not even invited. Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr.
Mm.
Two of the top three quarterbacks in the country last year. Now, people say, Drake May and J.J. McCarthy. No, I mean, on the field, Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix were ahead of those guys.
Absolutely.
And, of course, we know that Jaden Daniels won the Heisman Trophy, but a draft without Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. there. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a little bit disappointing because you want the star power of the quarterbacks. You know, that's always the biggest draw. No matter what the year, you love breaking down those quarterbacks. That position just always creates storylines and eyeballs. So, you know, and I still feel like, in a way, you know, Michael Penix has become a huge star in Bo Nix too. But I almost feel like people don't realize how good Michael Penix is.
Yeah.
Just how outstanding he became at Washington, how I think he's just going to be lights out good in the NFL. Like, I just feel like that guy is destined to be an absolute stud in the NFL. And I know it depends on situation for quarterbacks, but I just would not bet against that guy being awesome in the NFL.
Those two not projected among the top 15 to 20 selections. I guess the NFL believes so. That's why they won't be at the draft. They were not extended invitations. So that's interesting. There you go. I think if those players fall to the second round or even further, my goodness, what a steal some team in the NFL is going to get. Hopefully it's my Broncos. Michael Penix Jr. Broncos uniform is my draft hope, my draft dream.
Would that
we'll
get
see.
You to dress up as one of those crazy fans?
Why? Yeah, absolutely.
Deck down in Penix
gear. I'll shave my head and do it.
Get the Michael Penix chain.
Absolutely. I'm all on board. Okay, last one. Joe Burrow feels that the Bengals are built to beat the Chiefs. What do you think about that?
No. If the worst Chiefs team of the Mahomes era so far could still win a Super Bowl, I'm not taking any stock in Joe Burrow's belief.
Hold on, Mitch. What's the one team that has prevented the Chiefs from getting to the Super Bowl lately in the AFC?
It was the Bengals. Okay. And they won in Kansas City. I'll give him that, but I still would not go. I learned that lesson last playoffs. I'm almost now just, I'm never going to go against the Chiefs until someone actually proves me wrong. Because last year I thought, they're out. They're going to get eliminated early and it's going to be a wrap. Oh, the Bills are going to take care of business. I'm not buying stock because of what I experienced this past playoffs. What about you?
Death taxes, Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Until it changes. I can't say otherwise because I did the same thing you did last year. I was like, all these teams are built. I mean, there were some really good AFC teams.
Yes.
I thought the Dolphins maybe were ready, but no, they were a paper tiger. Nope, there were the Chiefs at the end, and they found a way to win it again. Sick of it. That's one thing you and I can agree on.
Yes.
Raiders fans and Broncos fans
100%.
Can come together right now in our hatred of the Chiefs. But I also respect the Chiefs because they're fun to watch and they dominate.
No question.
All right, last one real quick I'll get in here. Former Utah State quarterback Chucky Keaton is now in the NFL. He joins the Seattle Seahawks as an offensive assistant. That's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Whenever I hear the name like Chucky Keaton, a lot of memories. I think back to that Wisconsin game in, 2012 with that really good Utah State team that won the WAC, the last WAC title in football.
Yeah, I think it was. Was that Gary's last year or Matt Wells' first year? I can't remember.
That's what got Gary the job, for Wisconsin.
It was Gary's
because
last
of that
year.
Amazing performance. They had it down to a field goal. But, yeah, Chucky Keaton was a stud. Kind of like the rise of Utah State becoming that program that can win at a high level. You know, so I think that's cool. And to see him have success and continue to make that climb. And, like, these little moves, it seems kind of an afterthought, you know, in the grand scheme. But, hey, the years pile up and you go, man, that guy could be in a position to maybe one day be an offensive coordinator or maybe one day a head coach.
Absolutely.
So that's awesome for Chucky Keaton to break through and be in the NFL coaching world.
Yeah, Utah State Aggie legend. Injuries kept Chucky Keaton from being able to make it to the NFL, but now he makes it as an offensive assistant. That is your NFL Blitz on this Friday. We got to take a break. We'll wrap things up today in this hour with Jazz Daily coming up next on JJ and Alex 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
You know what's coming.
Your daily deep dive into everything Utah Jazz.
It's time.
All season long and even in the off season, it's Jazz Daily with JJ and Alex on your exclusive home of Utah Jazz basketball. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it! Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it! Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it!
It's time for the Jazz Daily. The Jazz with a one game. You can't call that a win streak, can you? I've been waiting so long to say the Jazz have a win streak. Can I just do it this one time?
Just do it.
The Jazz have a one-game win streak.
This is the last Jazz Daily of the regular season. Here on the show.
Wow, it is.
Maybe it's worth celebration.
The season ends tonight on Sunday.
Yep.
Two road games starting tonight. They're in L.A. tonight to take on the Clippers, 8:30. And then they take on the Warriors Sunday, and then you're right. That's it. Another Jazz season in the books.
Team 50.
Forgettable 50. Is this the most forgettable one? No, there was worse. The 2013-14 season, the last year.
But it felt like that year. Corbin, it felt like that year with 14, though. There was this real – with so much hype around that NBA draft class. There was almost like excitement about let's tank as bad as we can because, man, this draft is so loaded.
Jazz did tank that year.
They did, but it didn't pan out to be as – that class draft class is not as beneficial.
It was bad, wasn't it? I mean, you had Joel Embiid at 3, but even he had a couple years that he couldn't even get on the court because of his broken whatever. And Jabari Parker and Andrew Wiggins made an all-star game, which is pretty cool. Won a title with the Warriors, but – even Andrew Wiggins hasn't been the star we thought he was going to be. Parker's out of the league.
This year has had moments much better than that season because that low point of that 14 season was when both the Jazz and Lakers wanted to lose, and then Nick Young goes off for like a 40-piece, and he's like acting like he won the NBA title.
That's right.
This year there was actually times where they're 22-20, and – you know, mid-January around MLK Day, and you thought maybe they get in the play-in. Maybe they're going to be in the playoffs. And then, of course, we all know they pulled the plug, and it became a developmental season at that point for the Jazz. But yeah, it's been difficult how much losing. Because still, this fan base doesn't know this level of just every night. You're first 5 minutes of the first quarter, even last night, you're down 10. After the first quarter, it's like
Fred Van Vliet can't miss.
You're in these holes every night, and just like, oh my gosh, it doesn't feel competitive. But you know, last night was, I think, a good moment. But yeah, it's been a trying time. It's been a difficult year. But there's probably been seasons that have been more taxing than this one. I would think.
Not many. You've got to go back to the early 80s when the team was – before they started making the playoffs and they thought they were going to move the team.
Yeah.
There was a year where Frank Layden and the Jazz had to basically sell Dominique Wilkins of the Hawks to keep to be able to pay people. There's been some dark days in this franchise.
Sure.
So I'm not going to sit here and be like, this is terrible. I mean, we're talking about the Arizona Coyotes. Like, there's an actual team that's ready to move next week. In professional sports in the year 2024. So, no, it's not that bad. But 13-game losing streak, just another year where this franchise is not getting any closer to winning a championship. And pretty soon after this team was in the playoffs, I mean, it was 2021. This team was the number one overall seed in the playoffs. That was 3 years ago. And now you're here and you're kind of like, man, life moves at you pretty fast, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So that's professional sports, but I guess that gives you hope that things could move that quickly the other way. You're heading into an offseason now where the Jazz will try to kick all the tires and see if there's something out there to improve this franchise. You know, I don't know if that opportunity presents itself as far as a trade, but we do know that they'll be very involved in the draft with, you know, they'll have a first-round pick. Actually, two first-round picks. One, right now, will be conveyed to them by the Thunder. It's one of a number of first-round picks that have bounced around that will end up with the Jazz. Then, of course, they right now would have the first pick in the second round. That's great value. The first pick in the second round is better value than the 28th pick or 29th. Because that's point. A non-guaranteed contract, but it's in the same talent range. We've seen a lot of teams hit home runs with early second-round picks lately. So the Jazz are in a great position to improve their roster this summer with the draft. But again, you're going to bring three more rookies onto a team that had three rookies last year? That's not getting you closer to where you want to go. I mean, we saw how playing three rookies the last 2 months of the season worked out well for the Jazz. Not great.
No, not at all. And it's, yeah, just kind of looking in the history books, there's only been five seasons with fewer wins than this one, one of which was with Ty Corbin, three Tom Nasalki, and Jerry Sloan. So, that's a handful of times in the Utah Jazz era, two in New Orleans, but five in Utah where they've had fewer wins than the 30 wins this season. So, not completely bottom, but it's been a difficult year nonetheless.
Hopefully it is bottom, Mitch, because I feel like you want to see progress from this
good
franchise
point.
Next year. But I do want to prepare fans for the fact that it could be the same deal. That 2025 draft is pretty loaded. Cooper Flagg is going to be the big prize in that draft, and he may be worth the price, just like Wembanyama he definitely is. So do the Jazz roll that back again and kind of do the same thing? I mean, this is what they're trying to do. Until you get that player, you can't take the next step, and I don't know that they have that player yet. So a lot of questions remain about this Utah Jazz team, but we will see them finish the regular season out this weekend. All right, tonight, Jazz, Clippers, 8:30. Pregame coming up at 7:30. Jake Scott, the coach, Tim Lacombe, will take you up to tip-off here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. I've got an injury report for the Clippers game tonight. No shock here. Jordan Clarkson out. Left SI inflammation. You got to take care of your SI. You're no good without an SI, right?
I don't even know what an SI is.
John Collins out. Chris Dunn out. Walker Kessler out. Lowry Markkanen out. Colin Sexton is doubtful with an illness. Knowing Colin, he'll do everything he can to get back on the court dealing with that illness. But there's your players that are out tonight for the Utah Jazz. Jazz Clippers, 8:30 p.m. tip-off, 7:30 p.m. pregame show with Jake Scott and Tim Lacombe right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. So we get ready for that last Jazz game coming up on Sunday, but before that, you'll hear that game tonight coming up starting right here on 7:30 for the pregame show. That's JJ and Alex, KSL Sports Zone.